Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We are Chicago's number one sports station. Chicago guys talking Chicago sports. Listen on your radio, your laptop, your mobile device, through the radio.com app, or tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station. Welcome back. Ian Happ.
It's hard to take Ian Happ out of the lineup. This guy's swinging the bat really well. He's been a staple. He's the real deal.
Happ is a switch hitter. He's got a beautiful swing. He's strong. We've seen him hit some long home runs. Happ hits a high fly ball deep left center field. Back is Dyson. This ball's got a chance. Gone. Ian Happ, a home run to left center.
Outfielder for your Chicago Cubs.
He can run. He's a very good athlete.
Well, he's got all the tools.
Here it drives one toward right center. Well hit deep back toward the warning track. Ian Happ makes the catch up against the vines. He backpedaled hard into that ivy-covered brick wall. Happ a little slow to get up. He does. He seems to be walking okay. That was not a routine play. Very nice catch by Ian Happ.
Host of the Compound Podcast.
My Is That So moment of the week was the Cubbies flew to St. Louis and woke up on Friday. Little text message said, hey guys, game's canceled, waiting to hear if we're going to fly home or what's going to happen. It was the biggest that so.
Cubbies get out to a hot start. Cardinals trying to halt the season.
Is that so?
Little fishy.
Honestly, hope everybody over there is feeling okay and that symptoms aren't too bad. It was nice that we didn't have to go to the field. We didn't have to like sit there. We didn't have to get quarantined because we weren't around the ballpark at all. So this is All-Star Break 2020 for us.
Ian Happ, every Thursday on the Dan Bernstein Show on 670 The Score.
Welcome back. Welcome back in on 670 The Score. It's Matt Spiegel in for Dan Bernstein, and a pleasure to welcome in Ian Happ on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park. What's up, Ian? Good morning, man. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm great. So All-Star Break 2020 is what you referred to it as on the latest episode of The Compound. You guys had the impromptu four-day shutdown. And I'm thinking, man, this is a weird time for a pause. You guys have been playing so well and then get pounded in that odd one in Kansas City when Tyler Chatwood didn't pitch that bad, but just got hit real hard. And then you have to pause. And I'm thinking, this is bad, bad time for a break. But you guys have come back with a vengeance. What happened during the downtime in terms of you guys keeping the intensity where it needed to be, because it obviously worked. Whatever you guys did obviously worked in kind of keeping you guys right where you needed to be.
Yeah, I think one of the best things about this team is the way that kind of brush off losses, especially like a big loss like that in Kansas City, keep the energy high in the dugout. I think the ninth inning we scored two or three runs and we were still clapping like we were up five. I think that's kind of DMO this team, it's what this team has the ability to do on a daily basis. But over the break, we had a few workouts, a couple practices. You know, we were still coming to the field. able to keep the pitchers in shape, able to get guys at bats with a five-inning scrimmage. One of the days and have a little fun competition hitting the day before we headed to Cleveland to play. So just being able to stay in the field, stay active, and I think it helps when you understand that you're going to be back playing baseball real soon.
The energy in that dugout is infectious just to watch on TV, frankly, and that's obviously the only way that all of us can watch. Tell people about where that starts every day, because I heard you talking about it on the compound, Ian, like with that first Rizzo at bat. I mean, you guys are locked in with Bryant right from the get-go, and we've noticed that. You guys are cheering on every pitch. You're into it, every pitch of every at bat. But what happens when Rizzo comes to bat for you guys?
Yeah, it's incredible because you have a choice to make at the start of the season or the start of a game here. And it's either you bring the energy from the dugout or there's not going to be any energy in the entire stadium. So we're making that conscious choice to do that. It's important to us. But Rizzo's AB, his walkout song, pretty famous in Chicago. The people, all the fans clap to it. It's electric in the stadium. It's been one of the coolest things for me to see just on a daily basis at Wrigley. So we thought we would bring that out. Steven Souza kind of sings the song, and we all go along with it, which is really a lot of fun.
So, yeah, and it's just like it happens early, too, right? It's your second at bat. It's the second at bat because Rizzo's up top now, and it helps lock you guys in right away, it seems.
Yeah, it happens right away. It gets everybody fired up, makes everybody be into the game. And I think one of the differences with just this season, the protocols, is guys are in the dugout. Everybody's out there. Everybody's ready. They don't want to spend much time inside. You know, they don't want guys kind of sitting around watching the game inside. The game's not even on the TVs down there, so it's a little bit different, and you have everybody out there in the dugout just really totally invested in what's going on the field.
It's hard to do that for every pitch of every at bat of every game, but that's the job, right? I mean, that's the gig, is to stay that mindful and that kind of on point. I've been crediting Ross for that this year as I look at it. And obviously he sets the tone, but there's more than him. Who are some of the other personalities on that coaching staff that keeps you guys locked in and keeps you going?
Yeah, Rossi's energy is definitely a huge part of that. But our hitting coach, Anthony Iaposi, has been really important in that. It was kind of his message from the beginning, was keeping guys locked in, trying to add on runs late in games has been a huge emphasis for us. Because that's what good offenses do. Good offenses add runs late. They pile on, and they make it a little bit easier on the manager to make decisions, make it a little bit easier on the bullpen. And that's our goal. But those two guys have been huge parts of it. Mike Napoli, his energy, his just being a recent player, being able to kind of pick from his experience has been great too.
So when Ian Happ, when you got here, To Wrigley and to the Cubs mix, I mean, the young guy with this group of now veteran core players like Rizzo, Bryant, and Baez, and Wilson, and Schwarber, not much older than you, but they're veterans, and they were. I'm trying to remember, Ian, because I remember talking to you early on when you got here. You were the youngest of some siblings, right? Weren't you the youngest, and like you played a lot with guys who were older than you growing up? Do I have that memory correct?
Yeah. One older brother, he's 6 years older. So I grew up kind of working out, practicing, always playing with guys that were older than me. And I was young for my grade too. So it was kind of something that I got used to, being 14 as a freshman in high school, playing against 17, 18 year olds. And then in college, going to college at 17, 18. But just, it's always been something I've been used to. I think having a brother that's 6 years older makes you mature a little bit quicker and just kind of puts the base of your friend group a little bit older. So I've always kind of been drawn to an older crowd.
Yeah, it's interesting. So now as I'm listening to the podcast, I'm hearing you're the ringleader of the crew. Like you're the old head with Dakota Mekas and with Zach. It's like you're the guy and you're the ringleader. You're the one who makes the decisions about when to send T-shirts out to people, or not. Are we doing contests or whatever? I don't know if that's by design, but Maybe is that enjoyable to you to feel like the old head now? You have a crew, Ian.
Yeah, it is. It's great. We've had such a blast with it, and Dakota likes to refer to himself as the talent. And I tell him when to show up. I tell him when we're recording, and he's just the talent. So it's been a blast the way that people have reacted to it, and the way that people are following us, the T-shirts. It's been really, really cool to see.
Yeah, I love he calls himself the talent, and I loved him this week referring to you when you were in the minors with him in Iowa. You guys were talking about like whether games get banged or not in the minors, and he called you the prodigal son. That like so while you were there in the minors, things were different. Well, we got to take care of Hap because he's not going to be here long. But looking back, did you work on stuff there that is coming to the fore now? It's an easy thing for guys like me to say. Like, man, whatever Ian was working on, that's really... Because right now, you're on fire, dude. It's so much fun to watch you hit from both sides of the plate, and the numbers bear that out, and it just looks really comfortable, and it's exciting to watch. But is there a connection to what happened with you in Iowa last year and the way that things are going now?
I think the one thing that I really took away from Iowa was the ability to put the ball in play with two strikes. I worked on that quite a bit. I worked on choking up. I kind of found a little bit of a happy medium for me in terms of where I was holding the bat, kind of where I felt comfortable, like I could put the ball in play on a consistent basis when I got to two strikes. So that definitely helped just with my confidence and being able to do that. But, you know, it wasn't until I got back up and was able to have some consistent at-bats at the big league level that I really felt like I figured some things out, where I was able to just have enough confidence in myself to go out there and play every day.
Yeah, you know, that was talked about a bit, that B-hack, like you're talking about with two strikes. And then they also talked about, you know, not going for loft quite as much. I don't know if that ended up playing out, but let's just think about that B-hack. The best on the Cubs and one of the best in baseball is Rizzo with it, right? When you see him, his approach with two strikes, do you guys talk about that as a group? Is that part of what's so admired about Anthony, is his ability to change and adjust and still have power too, by the way, with two strikes? But, man, he puts the ball in play with two strikes as well as anybody.
Yeah, I think it's a mentality. I think it's a mentality that you're not going to give in. You know, different guys have different ways of doing it physically, whether it's choking up, whether it's shortening your stride or making your move a little smaller. But it's really a mentality of grinding out at bats, of fighting off pitches until you get something that you want to hit, understanding what that guy might throw you in different situations, not being afraid to take a walk and pass it to the next guy. And that's a really special part about our lineup is 1 through 9, anybody in our lineup can hit a ball out of the ballpark, can hit a double and score you from first. So for me, especially hitting the 9 hole where I was with KB and Riz and Javi coming up, it's all about getting on base. So if you get in a situation where you can grind out a pitcher and see 6, 7, 8, 9 pitches and kind of wear him down a little bit for the guys behind you, that's huge. It's a big part of our lineup. Schwarb did it the other night in Cleveland, had a like 12 or 13 pitch strikeout, and then we immediately put it right on the board. You know, he doesn't get any credit for that. He still gets a strikeout in the books, but we all know that at bat is what got us a run. And you got to pick those guys up. You got to tell them like, hey, that was your run. Like, you deserve that run. And I think those are the things that we're doing on a daily basis that keep everybody going, keep everybody involved.
Yeah, it sure seems like it. As you guys are 12-3 and the whole offense is doing its thing. I saw some numbers last night where 7, 8, and 9 in the lineup over the course of the year are better than 1 through 3, better than 4, 5, and 6. Are you? I don't know whether that's due to the 1-2 punch of you and Nico Horner at 8 and 9. It doesn't really exist anymore because you've been moved up. And they, you know, Ross blew that up. You guys had that going with 8 and 9, but now it's all blown up. But do you guys realize that or talk about that's you, Kipnis, Horner, Bodie, Caratini? Like, you five essentially have been putting up crazy numbers at 7 through 9. You guys hip to it as a group?
I think it has a lot to do with just the way the lineup's set up. I think 1 through 5, 1 through 6 is such tough at bat and such big names, too, that once the pitcher gets through that, takes a little small breath, takes takes his foot off the accelerator for a second. And it kind of gives 7, 8, 9 a chance to put some runs on the board and just get some pitches to hit. I think that's kind of the difference. And as long as our lineup stays disciplined, stays locked in, and doesn't let up on a pitcher, that's what's going to happen. I think having to respect 9 guys in the order is just exhausting for a pitcher. And I think you can kind of see that when we're all having good ABs.
Yeah, I remember when Theo and Jed got here and they talked about pitches per plate appearance. That was a thing that the Red Sox did during Theo's time. Just, you know, they were the best and the Yankees were the best. And the Cubs, it wasn't part of the DNA of the team. And eventually, this group led by 2015 and 2016 was leading the league in pitches per plate appearance. And you guys are right now, as a group right now, this Cubs offense is leading the league in pitches per plate appearance. So I think it's a big, big deal. A couple more moments here with Ian Happ real quick on the Dan Bernstein Show. Matt Spiegel sitting in on 670 The Score. I love watching Kyle Hendricks pitch. I've always loved talking pitching with him, learning from him. Do you think his methods, his work habits, his style have affected some of the other starters on this team in a good way? Because, I mean, Alec Mills and Hendricks obviously are so similar, but Chatwood worked out a lot with Kyle in Arizona. I feel like even a guy like Lester is just, I mean, what these guys are doing, I feel like people do follow the way that Kyle Hendricks goes about his business on your pitching staff.
Yeah, I think the way that he thinks through pitches, I think the way that he sets up his pitches with what he's doing early in the at bat, and I think the way that he remembers what he's thrown guys in the past, it's really impressive, the way that he goes about his business, the way that he works. I think he learned a lot early in his career from John, from Lester, from Lack, from Arrieta, from those dudes, and you can just see the intensity that he throws with, the way that when he's on the bump, you're super confident in him. And I think it definitely trickles down. I think our staff as a whole has done such a good job of competing, of having a mindset that they're going to keep us in the game, and just whatever they're going to do, they're going to keep the game close and trust their fielders, trust the offense. I think it's just been so fun to watch those guys go out there and compete every day. And it's just, it's such a team effort. It's such a tight group right now. It's a lot of fun.
How does what you guys do in the dugout manifest when you're on the field, if it does? Because you're so locked in to every pitch of every at-bat from the dugout when you guys are on offense. But when you're on defense, are you as locked in when the pitcher's out there? Is there chatter that we don't, that the microphones are not picking up as you guys are like kind of screaming to each other and staying locked in? You're far away, usually in center field. But what's that like?
Yeah, I think the infield does a good job of keeping it loose. I think in the outfield, the way that we're communicating, the way that we're moving every pitch, and really being locked into what hitter's up, what they're, once you hit two strikes, where they hit it with two strikes, moving guys all around. I think it's really impressive. I think the way that we're kind of locked into who's pitching that day and where that changes our positioning, and it's a total group effort, like I said, and guys are locked in from the first pitch to the last pitch, and I think you can see that just with the intensity on the field.
You can. It's fun. It's fun to watch you guys right now. Ian, thanks for the time, man. I know you'll talk to Bernsey next week unless I bump him off and take the show just so I can talk to you next week. I'm thinking about
it. Thanks so much.
All right, man, you got it. It's Ian Happ.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.